Thank you very much. Welcome back. All right, John Heinberg returns here on Inside Agriculture as he appeared on AgriTalk Friday afternoon. Friday, we got the big news, maybe year-round E15, increasing the demand for corn. John, this is a big deal for not just corn, for agriculture, for farmers.
I think so. I mean, obviously, that would be something that adds to that demand pile with just that extra usage of the ethanol blends. You know, unfortunately, I think there's some components to that it's, you know, not as just easy as, all right, we got E15, sign it off. You know, there's some infrastructure that probably needs to be upgraded in that regard. Do we have the tanks at the pumps? Do we have the right pumps? Do we have the pieces in the pump to handle E15? You know, that type of thing on a national scale. So there's going to be some build out that's going to take time and money for it to come to that level. But at the same time, I do like the idea that, you know, hey, we got this blend here. We can get going with it. You know, you hear what Brazil does and how quickly they can crank things up to, you know, E30 or wherever they're blending at now. But again, for me, it's going to be an infrastructure thing that's going to take time, some tax breaks, some funds to do that. You know, for the average gas station, not even counting some of the change to convert pumps over to be able to handle that mandated requirement.
And soybean oil, still sensitive to any biofuel news.
You know, it kind of turned into a little bit of a perfect storm yesterday in that soybean oil market. Obviously, you know, we got those biofuel mandates that were coming out. Now, still not finalized. Okay. We'll hopefully get that taken care of here by the end of March, which is the plan. But at the same time, those numbers were the numbers we were talking back in November, December. So just that confirmation of that number may be coming. It really caused a good move in the soybean oil market. Actually, if you look at it, we really rallied back to where we are November, December window. Yes. When they said they were going to pause the announcement. The market sold off, you know, very aggressively for a handful of days in a row. The funds pushed into a short position. They were sitting just under 70,000 short contracts going into the day yesterday. I'm not sure how many they cleaned up, but that definitely felt like a short squeeze where they just bailed out of those short positions with the prospects that these mandates are coming again at the levels that we were anticipating earlier in the fall. You know, you go look at where we are in the shipment side of the equation. Again, this is that key window that we ship beans in. Actually, we're usually in the winding down stage of that right now. Now, good number this week. Saw those beans moving. Good export sale number this week. So, again, maybe we got some counter-seasonal demand here as China's kind of maybe trying to get that 12 million metric tons taken care of before the, you know, end of the buying season, which sounds like they're going to accomplish that. But you're still looking at, given the numbers off this week's export inspections, you know, we're looking at down 13 million metric tons from where we were last year in this window. That's about 350 million bushels of soybeans. Now, we're either going to need to see a long tail on the export window here to kind of get that number caught up. So we'll have to see how that plays out. My only kind of real concern right now that's just in the back of my mind, a lot of these purchases China's been doing here lately, their first spring delivery out into, you know, April, May, June, that's going to be right in the heart of the Brazilian harvest. Yep. So the first question I ask myself is, you know, we do have a little dry weather. We saw some yield checks come down a little bit from the CONAB this week. Are they securing supplies just to make sure they have enough? And if that Brazil crop holds together, do they put us at risk of cancellation? You know, there was nothing written to say they didn't have to buy them and take them. It was they would be purchasing those beans. So hopefully not. I don't like being doom and gloomer, but there's some things to it that just don't kind of add up in my mind. And now the big thing is with that Chinese demand, do they start working on the next 25 million metric tons that they're supposed to put in by the end of the year? So we'll have to see. So those are some wild cards that are still out there on that soybean side. But right now, at least at this stage, if we don't see an uptick in those export inspections, it feels like that demand number needs to continue to come down and bring that carry out even higher, probably closer to that 400 million mark. So when you look at the soybean market, again, you got U.S. supply where it is now, obviously, but the carry out in the 400 number, you know, feels like prices will need to come down. We're still trading significantly higher than those Brazilian beans in the spring. And this market feels like it needs to have more demand. It's going to lower prices to get competitive. You know, we saw that last year. We put an April low in on the March contract, on the July contract down to about 985 in that area, just because that was just that washout window, the peak of harvest, demand dried up. So we'll have to watch these next couple of weeks. China usually steps out of the market here by the end of their new year, which is the end of February. Then U.S. purchases were pretty hard to find last year, or at least of any consequence. So that's going to be a key spot, I think, in February into March, and see how this market handles that onslaught of South American beans as the Brazil harvest starts hitting full speed.
And so after negative news to start last week and positive news to finish, John, what's the advice for marketing?
Well, first thing, I had a lot of guys ask me, should we be moving it right after the report, you know, with this number? I kind of said, hang on to the 420 level. Let's see if that kind of, some reason it's a magic number that seems to hold charts over time. And again, putting in a little bit of a low. I'm not counting on much of a recovery rally here because, again, there's a lot of bushels I still think need to move. If we get back into the 430, 435 area on that March contract, we're probably going to start moving things. Kind of watching for a recovery back to the 430, 435 area, good resistance in there. And we want to start, make sure we're moving some beans in that window incrementally. That's also going to be an area I'll probably be looking at some short-term puts too. April puts, May puts, they're cheap. If you want to ride this out and see where this market wants to go, build a floor. The last thing, I'm very, very cautious. This maybe on the corn side too. Basis pricing window at the end of February. If you go look at the math, the last 4 years, we lost an average of 63 cents from the February high to a March low. Last year was 78 cents from 504 to 426. You know, the market knows there's bushels coming. I've been talking to guys with basis contracts. You want to be early, get those things priced out, move them off the books, because that could be a very difficult window for producers again, especially, you know, if you remember 2024, we sold off every single day in February, accelerating at the end of the month.
John Heinberg, Total Farm Marketing by Stuart Peterson on AgriTalk Friday. Again, this is Martin Luther King Jr. Holiday Monday. No market trade today, not a lot of farm news, but we've got a great event for you to attend tomorrow. Mark Philbrandt of Big Dog Ag with us right after this break.